Fred, Mr. One, let me say Happy New Year to you. We can say thank God He had kept us according to our count. We have done 1 year. The things we did not get to do, we would not be able to do it in 2016 anymore. But thank God He had brought us over to a new year. And I hope that we would be inspired to have new thoughts and new desires, and that the Lord would help us to pursue them. You know, I think of a man, the prophet Habakkuk, who would see the difficulties that were taking place in his time and the wickedness was upon the earth. And we learned that he prayed. And at the end of the book, chapter 3, he says that God is able to keep his feet like the feet of the deer or the wild goat and the hills. And so God has kept us safely. You know, I was thinking about it last night, sitting at home and hearing the lot of noise and the fire rockets and, you know, these things bursting in my ears and all that. And I thought about life in general. You know, and we have to give God thanks that He had kept us on the highway and in the airway during the year. Because it seemed like men today decided, men and women, boys and girls, decided that they have to assist the angel of death to take away people's lives because they drive so careless and all that in this time. But prayer has kept us. And so, we are living in a time where one thing we can agree with the politician, they would always say that better days are ahead. And so we can take that as a fact that better days are ahead because our Lord is coming soon and He would rule in righteousness. But before this, He would rapture us to be in His presence. And that's what we look forward. And barring a thought from Brother Ken, we don't really occupy with the undertaker. We are more occupied with the uptaker. In times like these, we need to have an upward look. Because looking around is just dismal. Looking around, it's just heart-wrenching to see the things that are taking place in this world. And you never hear more time singing about love and singing about all this, and let it's less love that is being manifested. And I think Jesus knew all things when He says that these men, they draw close to me with their mouth, but their hearts are far away. And so, our challenge today is that may God help us that our hearts be closer drawn to Him and to the things pertaining to Him. I want to share something that I've been occupied with, and it has been a blessing to me. But I must confess that it's not easy to bring out. There's so many things that you read and you follow it up, but then when you come to present it, sometimes it doesn't come out as fluent as you had read it or you had meditated. So I'm just going to depend upon the Holy Spirit to just bring out the thoughts that he have in mind. Let us turn to Numbers chapter 13. We know that the more than three-quarters of the Bible is written to Israel, and the other less than a quarter is written to the church. But there's a lot of things that from the Old Testament that we can apply to our daily walk and our Christian life. We read many times, and we talk about it a lot, men who have walked with God. We read of Abraham, we read of Noah, Elijah, and all these, right? But there is a man that didn't, Bible never said that he walked with God, but that.
No, it's an echo.
Okay. Thank you. But that he followed God. And I try to follow up as much as I could about men that are written in the Bible, that the Bible really never say anything negative about them, and I had three, and there could be others. The first one is, we read of Joseph, and there's nothing negative was ever said about Joseph. And the next one was Daniel. Daniel, nothing negative was ever mentioned about Daniel. And the third is the one I speak on, was Caleb. Caleb had never mentioned anything negative in the Bible about him. I want to tell you that the name Caleb means dog. Dog. And I think that is the reason why there's not a lot said about Caleb. You know. But Caleb is one of those who came out of Egypt. Matter of fact, we learned that in our Sunday school. 12 men went to spy in Canaan. 10 was bad and 2 was good. Some saw grape in clusters fall. Some saw giant grape and tall. But some saw God was in it all. 10 were bad and 2 was good. Let us look at Numbers chapter 13. Reading verse 1. And the Lord spake to Moses, saying, send men to spy out the land of Canaan, which I am giving to the children of Israel, for each tribe of their father, who shall send a man, everyone a leader among them. So Moses sent them from the wilderness of Paran, according to the command of the Lord, all of them men who were heads of the children of Israel. Let's go to verse 17 for shortness of time. Then Moses sent them to spy out the land of Canaan, and said to them, go up this way into the south, and go up to the mountain, and see what the land is like, whether the people who dwell in it are strong or weak, few or many, whether the land they dwell in is good or bad, whether the city they inhabit are like camps or strongholds, whether the land is rich or poor, and whether they are forest there or not. Be of good courage, and bring some of the fruit of the land. Now the time was the season of the first ripe grapes. So they went up and spent out the land from the wilderness of Zin as far as Rehob, near the entrance of Hamath. Verse 23. Then they came to the valley of Ekron, and there cut down a branch with one cluster of grapes, and they carried it between two of them on a pole. They also brought some of the pomegranate and figs. The place was called the Valley of Ephraim because of the cluster which the men of Israel cut down there. And they returned from spying out the land after 40 days. Let's turn to Deuteronomy. I just want to read it and then I try to explain what I had gathered from Deuteronomy chapter 1. And I'm going to read from verse 26. And now this is Moses speaking to the children of Israel. Moses said, "Nevertheless, you would not go up, but rebel against the command of the Lord your God, and your complaint in your tent said, 'Because the Lord hated us, he had brought us out of the land of Egypt to deliver us into the hand of the Amorites to destroy us.'" Verse 32. "Yet for all that, you did not believe the Lord your God, who went in the way before you to search out the place for you, to pitch your tent, to show you the way you should go in the fire by night and the cloud by day." Verse 35. "Surely not one of these men of this evil generation shall see that good land of which I swore to give to your father, except Caleb, the son of Jephunneh. He shall see it, and to him and his children I am giving the land on which he walked, because he wholly followed the Lord. The Lord was also angry with me for your sake, saying, 'Even you shall not go in there. Joshua the son of Nun, who stand before you, he shall go in. He shall go there. Encourage him, for he shall cause Israel to inherit it. And then the children of Israel, you know, they complained that the little ones, because they were brought out, would be destroyed. God is saying that they are the one who would go in. So we turn back to Numbers chapter 14, and I'm going to read a couple of verses. "So all the congregation lift up their voice and cried, and the people wept that night. And all the children of Israel complained against Moses and Aaron. And the whole congregation said to them, 'If only we had died in the land of Egypt, or if only we had died in the wilderness. Why has the Lord brought us of this land to fall by the sword, that our wives and children should become victim? Would it not be better for us to return to Egypt?' So they said to one another, let us select a leader and return to Egypt. That's a lot of reading, and it, you would have to go from different place. It would take a lot of time, which we might not have. So I will just try to summarize it as best as I can. Now, I said that the name Caleb means dog, and when we read in scripture, according to Isaiah chapter 56, it speaks of the unprofitable shepherd. They were like dogs. When we read in Psalms 22, it speaks of Jesus, and this is, we refer this to, omitted to the Lord Jesus, as he's the one who were, this was mentioned of in Psalms 22. He says, that dog has compassed me, and he was speaking about the Gentiles, because the Gentile was looked upon as dogs. And in Revelation 22:15, it speaks of the shepherd who had a desire only for themselves, for their belly to be full, there is unsatisfiable, and all that. That is in Revelation 22. And he referred to them as dogs that were outside of, that they were dogs and sorcerers. Also, the Lord Jesus used it in Matthew chapter 15 and verse 21 when he spoke to the woman when she came to him about her child. And he said to her, that it's not good or it's not right to give the bread of the children to dogs. And she said, yes, Lord, I know that. But you see, the dog, even the little dog, desire the crumb that fall from the master's table. And because of her humble position, because what it was alluding to is the grace of God and his mercy, she said, well, I know I don't deserve it, but I desire even the crumb that fall from the table. And the Lord said, because of your faith, her child was healed. And so you and I can categorically state that we did not deserve anything from God, but in his love and in mercy. So scripture says in Ephesians that when we were with, that grace is given, is the gift of God. Not that we deserve it, but God in his love and his mercy would give it to us. Now, it is says that, and I love the portion in chapter 14 of Numbers and verse 24. It says that, verse 24, my servant Caleb, because of a different spirit in him and had followed me fully, I will bring unto the land where he went, and his descendants shall inherit it. So if you read it, you realize that the 12 tribe of Israel was given portion of the promised land, but not Caleb. Caleb all was given to him by the Lord. Because when the men went to spy, 10 of them came back with report that broke the heart, as it were, of Caleb and Joshua. Because their report was so terrible. I think it is recorded there in Deuteronomy, the same Deuteronomy 1 and verse, I think, let me see if that's the verse. Deuteronomy chapter 1 and verse 40. 1. I'm going to read over verse 26. It said, nevertheless, you would not go up, but rebel against the commandment of the Lord, and your complaint in your tents, and said, because the Lord hit us, he had brought us out of the land of Egypt to deliver us into the hands of the Amorite to destroy us. Where can we? And then verse 32. Let me see if I miss what I want. But verse 32 says, ye did not believe the Lord, for all that you did not believe the Lord your God, who went the way before you, search out the place for you to pitch your tent, to show you the way you should go in the fire by night, with the fire by night and the cloud by day. And the Lord heard the sound of your words and was angry and took an oath, saying, surely no one of these men of this evil generation shall see the good land of which I swore to give to your father, except Caleb the son of Jehoneth. He shall see, and to him the children and his children I am given the land on which he walked, because he wholly followed the Lord. The Lord was also angry with me, and Moses is speaking of himself here. Verse 39, he said, moreover, your little ones and your children who you say will be victims, who today have no knowledge of the good and evil, they shall go in there to them. I will give it, and they shall possess it. But as for you, turn and take your journey into the wilderness by the way of the Red Sea. So we see that because of their unbelief, they spoke. And it says, Caleb said that the heart of the people melted when they heard the report of the 10 men that spoke ill-advisedly, I would say. But we see that Caleb stood up for what he believed. He stood up for what was right. And so he was counted. And it says that Caleb walked with the Lord in the right spirit. And we know that Paul the Apostle also spoke to Timothy in 2 Timothy 4:2 about the Lord Jesus Christ be with his spirit. So when I was thinking about it, I read the story of, and I don't remember the figure now, but it's somewhere in the billions of dollars that is spent on dogs in the Western world. And if we look in the scripture, dog was really an unclean animal. I remember some years ago I was at a gas station. This guy was from Iraq and he ran a gas station. And he always tell me that you look like us. So we would always talk. And a lady came and she had her dog licking her face and all her lips and all that. And he says, you know, in my country, dogs are dogs, you know. and we look at them as unclean animals, right? But because they crossbreed them into all kinds of things, we have, even on the television, you hear them appealing to people to send in money to feed the dogs. And Caleb was a dog, for that's what his name means. And it did not say that Caleb walked with the Lord. He said that he followed the Lord. And it put me, when I was reading about it, about Peter. It said that Peter followed the Lord, but he followed afar off. Because he followed afar off, he ended up warming himself in the enemy of our Lord Jesus at your fire. Right? You remember when he was Lord Jesus in that scene? And so, because he walked afar off. But Caleb walked, not just, he followed the Lord, not just followed and complained. And I can imagine Caleb thinking about, you know, the Lord has already given my inheritance. But so as to fellowship with the people, I am going through a desert, a wilderness that has no water many times, no food sometimes. But we never read where Caleb complained. But the children of Israel were just brought out of bondage. And early on in somewhere in Genesis, the Lord said to Moses, when he called Moses, in Exodus, he says, I have heard the cry of the children of Israel, and I have seen their affliction by the taskmaster down in Egypt, and I am going to send you to bring them out. And with a mighty hand, God brought them out. And right after that, they are complaining. God don't love us. Because that's why he brought us out here. You think God had to take them out of Egypt, Israel, to kill them if he wanted? And so he brought them out in his love and his mercy. But they complained. We sing also a chorus many times. I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back. No turning back. If none go with me, alone I'll follow. That's Caleb. We read everyone is complaining. We never read anything about Caleb. No, there's a lot that is being said about Joshua. And Joshua became prominent. But God would have us to learn of Caleb that he walked with him in the right spirit. He had a different spirit. He is motive and his desire was to, it's like what Daniel says, that Daniel purposed in his heart. Caleb purposed in his heart that I'm going to follow the Lord. I trust him and I'm going to follow him. When we read in, and maybe we should read that verse as well, Joshua chapter 14. In Joshua chapter 14. Says that chapter 14 and verse 8. Joshua chapter 14, and I'm going to read verse 8. He says, nevertheless, my brethren who went up with me made the heart of the people melted. Yeah, I spoke about that already. He says that, and this is Caleb is speaking of. He says, nevertheless, my brethren who went up with me made the heart of the people melted, but I wholly follow the Lord, my God. So Moses swore on that day, saying, surely the land where your foot has trodden shall be yours in the inheritance and your children forever, because you have wholly followed the Lord. Now, behold, the Lord has kept me alive. And this is now Caleb going to Joshua. And he says, and now, behold, the Lord has kept me alive, as he said, these 45 years. Even since the Lord spoke this word to Moses, while Israel wandered in the wilderness, and now here I am, this day 85 years old. As yet I am as strong as the day, as on the day that Moses sent me. Just as my strength was then, so now my strength for war, both for going out and for coming in. He said, now therefore give me this mountain. Brother Colbert mentioned that the other night in our conversation home. Now give me this mountain of which the Lord spake in that day, for you heard it that in that day, how the Anakim were there, and that the city were great and fortified. It may be that the Lord will be with me, and I shall be able to drive them out as the Lord said. So Joshua blessed him and gave Hebron to Caleb, the son of Jehonadab, as an inheritance. So, the children of Israel, after they disobeyed or cried against God and wandered for 45 years, or 40 years, because in Deuteronomy, somewhere in Deuteronomy, it says that for 40-year days, it took them to spy out the land. And God said, for every day, I'm going to let you wander for a year. And so they wandered for 40 years in the wilderness. And Caleb is saying, when I was 40 years old, God promised me this portion. And I'm 85 years old. And I am just as strong. And I am willing to go because I trust God. Now, brethren, that does not mean that, in the flesh, we will be like Caleb to say, well, I'm 85 and I'm just as strong as I was then. It does not mean that we might be as strong as that. But one thing we can say is that the God who we trusted when we were young is the same God today, just as strong, and is able to do what he promised. And so Caleb said, give me this mountain. And do you know that scripture declares that the only one who dwelled in peace, it was Caleb, because he drove out the enemy. Brethren, you and I are living in the enemy's land. The Bible says we are in the world, but we are not of the world. And so we are overcomers through Christ who overcome the world. That was said in one prayer this morning. God, the Lord Jesus overcome the world, hell and death. And he said, you are not victim, but victors through me. And so you and I can live a victorious life in spite of the wilderness sea. We will always have our ups and downs. And that brings me to a verse in Romans. And I shared that last week, Tuesday, at Fort Lauderdale. Romans chapter 8 and verse 28, it says that all things work together for good for those that trust the Lord. Now, after doing that, I remember a story I read of a man by the name of George Gilpin, who was sentenced to hang during the reign of Queen Mary. And while he was awaiting his sentence to be hanged, he would always repeat that verse, all things work together for good for those that love the Lord, that have their confidence in him. And the time came when he was to be hanged, and on his way to the gallows, he fell down and broke his hip. He was not sent back to the hospital, but he was sent back to prison. And groaning and crying with the pain, he still would say in the morning and in the evening, all things work together for good for those that love the Lord. And even the wardens and the inmates would laugh at him. And he says, yeah, I still believe that everything worked together for good, for those that love the Lord. Well, while he was there suffering in the prison, Queen Mary died, and Queen Elizabeth took reign, and he was pardoned to continue with his work for the Lord. And brethren, we are living in difficult times, but if we can just take hold that whatever I am going through, that God is leading me, and he has my interests at heart. He loves us and he wants us to be closer, drawn to him. So we might go through the wilderness, but God is with us. And that he's not going to leave us. And that he's doing it for my good and for his glory. But we have to really take hold of it, that it's worked together for good. There are trials. We pray many times of brethren who are suffering in different ways. Sicknesses and poverty and all this. But we need to be reminded that all things work together for good for those that love the Lord. We have a hymn that we sing. It says, we cannot always trace the way in which our Lord doth lead. But one thing we can surely say, and that is God is love. I don't know what trials you go through. I don't know. They might be difficult. I remember, and I forgive me for saying this because I will always have to say, I remember when I used to see my wife sit down and tears running down her face with the pain that she used to feel, unable to walk. And many times we're going to the meeting and I said, dear, why do you want to go to the meeting and you can't even walk? And she said, if I stay home, I'm still going to feel the pain. And she would always go to the meeting. And when I see my God miraculously raise her up, that she's able to walk without cane, I used to jokingly say, her cane make her able. And to see her walk, it's just like a miracle from my God. And that brings me to the point to say, my God is able to do all things. But I have to trust him like Caleb. Though the children of Israel is going and they are murmuring and complaining, here is a man we mentioned, nothing is mentioned of him being complaining. And after 45 years he would go to Joshua and he said, no, the Lord has promised me 45 years ago, I was just 40 then. But I still believe that my God is able to deliver me, and that's why I want my mountain. You know, when we read of a mountain in Scripture, it is speaking of something that is solid, something that is strong, something that is unmovable, something that is permanent. Joshua is looking at a place, and you and I, brethren, have been given a permanent place. And we don't have to worry about what is taking place in this world, because we have something in view. We have a place. Jesus said, I'm going to prepare a place for you, and I'm going to come again, that where I am, there you will be also. And this should be what should propel my mind to praise the Lord. Now, if you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, you never confessed him as Lord of your life, you cannot say like Caleb, that I have wholly followed the Lord. You know, it just says that Caleb would always say the things that were nice, lest Caleb had to eat his own words. And so sometimes we need, the Bible says that we should let our words be seasoned with salt, so that we will know how to answer every man. The wise Solomon says that soft word turneth away wrath, but angry words stir up anger. We are living in a world that is full of anger. A little child was shot the other day because the grandmother was driving too slow. And the guy would come out, pull a gun, and shoot a little babe in the face. Angry world we are living in. The devil knows that time is running out. And so he have the heart of men with evil. We read some time ago back in Iraq and all these places with the ISIS. Cut off a man's head and taking it, make football to play. Because a man's life means nothing. But my Caleb, he walked, says, in the right spirit, in the right attitude. So brethren, challenge would be to me, in what spirit do I walk with? Is it anger spirit? Or a spirit that is pleasing to the Lord? It doesn't mean it's a different spirit when it says a different spirit, you know. It means that he walked in the right attitude. Thursday night we touched a little of that. That we can do the right things in the wrong way, but you can never do the wrong things in the right way. You know that? But so many times we do things and even say doing it for the Lord, but we are doing it with the wrong motive, the wrong spirit. Because I want to be seen, I want to be heard, I want to be noticed. Caleb was a trench man. Caleb worked and he pleased God. Joshua is mentioned about, but Caleb is not jealous about that. Even though book is written about Joshua, Caleb doesn't mind that. But when the time came, he said, I have wholly followed the Lord. And Lord, the Lord could declare that this man have wholly followed me in the right spirit. With a dog attitude, following without murmuring. No complaint from Caleb. Brethren, could I honestly say this? I don't complain. You know, I was up in Martha's Vineyard. It was very cold this year compared to the rest of the year. A lot of things that we planned to do, we couldn't do it because it was so cold. Snow starting fall early and everything. And there you go, people started complaining. I remember in the summer, they complained, man, this place is burning up. We would prefer the cold. And then the cold came and then they started saying, man, this is good, better if we had the summer. Can God really please us? Are we really satisfied as God lead us? You know, Caleb was being led through the wilderness without water. They found water, it was bitter. They had no food, they complained. But not Caleb. Never read anything about him being complaining. What an attitude for you and I to adopt. That I will not seek to complain, but I'm going to follow the Lord with the right spirit, with the right motive, with the right attitude. I'm going to follow him. Difficulties going to come. It's going to come up in your marriage, it's going to come up in your wealth, it's going to come up in your health and everything. This is a wilderness sea. But all things work for good for those that follow the Lord. In closing, I read of two women who were around a table and they were talking. And one of them said, I have a verse for this season of time, difficult time. And I am going to tell her what it was. And do I remember we had phone? Maybe Brother Colbert, I mentioned it the other day. Brother Colbert, do you remember where I said it was? One of them is in Psalms. Psalms. Okay, let me see if we were remembering. One of the sister says that. My brother said it was Psalm 18. Yeah, you're right, sir. Psalms 18 and verse 3. It says, I will call upon the Lord whom is worthy to be praised. So shall I be saved from my enemy. And I don't think that's the morning. It looked like it was it. Let me see if I find it again. I wanted was to tell you the verse, and I have it written down, but I think I left that little paper though. But anyway, it says that when I am afraid, I will trust the Lord. That's what it said in Psalm. And then the other sister said, you know, I have a better one than that. And she said, yeah. It says, she turned to, and that one I think I remember, Isaiah chapter 12, and I don't want to sort of mix up what we were saying, but I hope to. Isaiah chapter 12, I think it was. That's why I tell you, sometimes senior age catch up on you. So don't feel bad. We might not all be like Caleb, you know. Anyway, the verse says that I will trust the Lord, that I will not be afraid. One said, when I am afraid, I'll trust the Lord. The other said, I'll trust. The Lord is my salvation. And I will trust him that I will not be afraid. And I want to hold on to that. And I want to trust the Lord that I will not be afraid of the scene that we are living in. A lot of people, I said to them, you know, I'm planning to go to Jamaica. How can you go to Jamaica? It's so bad. Well, everywhere we go is going to be bad. But I trust my Lord. I trust my God that, and I won't be afraid. That I will follow him wherever he wants me to go. I promise that I will tell you those verses at another time.
Psalm 56 and verse 3.
Read it for me.
So when I am afraid, I will trust in thee.
Right. You said Psalm, and I'm almost certain if you tell me that, I'll be able to find where I want. Psalms 53?
56.
Or 56. And verse 3.
Yeah.
When I am afraid, I will trust in you. God, I will hear. And the other one is, I think it was in Isaiah. I know it's in Isaiah, but I don't remember the exact verse. I thought I had jot weird, but it's not here. So I'd probably find it by the time we leave. But what I'm trying to say, brethren, is that in time like these, we need to be like a Caleb who is willing to stand up for what is right. Caleb did not back down, you know. But Caleb said, the brethren that went up with me, their report had the people's heart melted. But Caleb followed the Lord wholly with the right spirit. May God help us that as we travel this scene, that we would walk in the right spirit. That we would be able to be a beacon for the Lord Jesus in a dark and pervert world. That we would be able to leave a testimony that, you know, such a brother was faithful. I remember visiting brother Victor, father was, what was his surname again? Brother Leard. Brother Leard was 104 years old. And he told me, he said, Brother Jasper, I just give God thanks. I am blind and I can't go any place unless they lead me, but I give God thanks when I could. I never missed a meeting. May God help us that we accept or develop that attitude that I will never miss any of the meeting if I possibly can. He said, now that I can go, I can look back and give God thanks that I did when I could. The things we can, may God help us that for 2017 we will do them. Not just talk about doing them, but doing them. That when we reach, if we do reach that age, we will be able to say, I did all I could. You know, Paul says, I have fought a good fight and I have finished my course. Let's think about that for a while. I fought a good fight. It wasn't easy. He had gone through a lot of difficult time. He was imprisoned most of his ministry. Most of his books were written while he was in prison. But he praises God. It says that at midnight, he and Silas sung, and the jailers heard them. Brethren, let us sing so that the world might hear us. May God help us for his name's sake.
Can I just read a verse from the same passage here, Numbers 14? And just what the brother was bringing out here is in verse 10. But for connection, I'm going to read verse 8 leading up to that, Numbers 8. What is actually showing that Caleb and Joshua, even in the face of death, they were willing to die because they were about to stone them. And see what happened here. It's very important to look at this. If the Lord delight in us, then he will bring us into the land and give it to us. A land which flows with milk and honey. Only do not rebel against the Lord, nor fear the people of the land, for they are our bread. Therefore, seek their protection. Have departed from them, and the Lord is with us. Do not fear them. He says, verse 10, and all the congregation said, to stone them. We stoned. And this is what happened. And the glory of the Lord appeared in the tabernacle at meeting before all the children of Israel. So the Lord came to their defense.
Yeah.
That they were about to stone them. And then the glory of the Lord was came. So it seems like if we found faithful, even in the face of death, they were willing even to die for standing up for the truth. If not back down and say, oh, okay, yeah, you're right. No. They didn't say anything. The glory of the Lord came and makes all the difference. So it's also good to, even in the face of death, we can stand up for God.
Oh, and thank you. And just to that verse that we were looking for in Isaiah, we had it, the verse next to it, some time ago at VBS right here. It's Isaiah chapter 12 and verse 2. We had verse 3. So I just read it. It said, behold, God is my salvation. I will trust and not be afraid. For Yahweh the Lord is my strength and my song. He also has become my salvation. And then the next verse says, therefore, with joy, you will draw water from the well of salvation. Remember that verse. Okay. And also, a verse in, I think it's Psalms 93, where it says that even in the old age, they will bring forth fresh fruit for the Lord. And we have it right before us. Our brother is over 90 years old, and he's here bringing fresh fruit unto his Lord, our brother Star. So Caleb is able to say, even though I'm old, I still believe in my God, and I'm still going to work and his through his strength. And our brother has been kept by the Lord and bringing fruit even in his old age.